مبلغ for you is my prayer. مبلغ for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وصحابك يا نور الله. Dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, whenever you are blessed with an opportunity to enter the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, the first thing that you must realize is that you're very, very lucky. Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you. Allah Azza wa Jalla has given you the opportunity to come to His house. You are one of the blessed people of Bradford that Allah Azza wa Jalla has blessed you with an opportunity to come to His house. But in coming into the house of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the masjid, if we can try and enter according to the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Ta'ala Alayhi Wasallam would always enter the masjid with his right foot, and then he would recite the dua for entering the masjid as well. Our pious predecessors have said that if you enter the masjid and also make intention for nafli itikaf, then you will get the reward of nafli itikaf for the duration that you're in the masjid. You can make that intention in Arabic, you can make it in English, you can make it in any language, you can make it in your heart. But by making that intention for the duration that you're in the masjid, you'll actually get the blessings of being in nafli itikaf. May I remind you to eat, to drink, and to sleep in the masjid is forbidden. But if you make this intention, then all of these things become allowable and you get the reward as well. So a small amount of effort, but inshallah, a huge amount of reward. There are many blessings in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said to us that no group of people sit in a gathering in which they do not remember Allah Azza wa Jal, nor send salat upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, except that that will be a loss for them. And on the day of judgment, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He will punish them. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, He will forgive them. Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala. So basically the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala is saying to us that when you are in any gathering, and if in that gathering you're not remembering your Rabb, you're not remembering your Creator, you're not sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala, what is the benefit of that gathering? And so in that gathering you're actually wasting time. And we are told here that in that gathering where you do not remember your Rabb, you do not remember and send Durood upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu ta'ala, then that gathering is a loss for you. And it is up to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal whether He forgives you or whether He punishes you for being in that gathering. So please make a habit that wherever you are, whatever is happening in your life, send Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We all have, you know, very busy schedules now. We're all very, very busy people. Everybody will say to you, I'm busy. But what happens if you look at your lives, you find that there are times in your life where you do have time. Because nowadays everybody's talking about multitasking, being able to do more than one thing at a time. So when you're driving, what is stopping you from reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? When you're waiting for your next customer, you're a taxi driver, you're a takeaway, you're a shop owner, whatever it is, you're waiting for your next customer. And even if your customer is with you, you are in a takeaway when you're making the food, or you are with a customer and you're driving the car, what is stopping you from reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? And if you are in a dentist or a doctor's or the hospital and you're waiting, then this waiting time, as Muslims, should never be wasted time. Muslims should never have time to waste. So utilize your time to the best of your ability. And one of the best ways of utilizing your time is sending Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We've said it many times before, but who knows that one extra Durood-e Pak that we recite today might make all the difference on the Day of Judgment. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Mother Channel, we have the weekly Ijtima here in Fazana Medina in Bradford on Maudsley Street. And Alhamdulillah, on this site, it is a 6.9 acre site, and many of the activities are taking place on this particular site. We have the Jamaatul Medina, residential Jamaatul Medina. We have the funeral facilities here, Darul Iftar offices here, the head office here, security office here. We have the Madani Channel studios here. We have Madrasatul Medina here. If anybody wants to avail them facilities, then please come to the Fazana Medina on Maudsley Street in Bradford, inshallah, and avail these facilities. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Imam Nasr al-Din Al-Basti, Ramatullah Ta'ala, he once became very, very ill. And he became that ill that he actually went into a coma. And when he went into his coma, his breathing went that low that they actually thought he passed away. The people that were with him thought he'd actually passed away. So in that state, when he was in this coma, they actually washed his body, shrouded his body, and buried him in the grave. And he actually regained consciousness when he was in the grave. And when you imagine opening your eyes, and all of a sudden you've been in a coma, and all of a sudden you open your eyes and you realize that you're in the dark and lonely grave. And he panicked as anybody would panic. He panicked as anyone would panic. But then he remembered that if a person recites Surah Yasin 40 times in a state of difficulty, Allah Azza wa Jal removed that difficulty from him and turned that difficulty into an ease. You know the mindset, you know, before I tell you what the blessings are, the actual mindset to be able to think that nowadays when we are before the calamity, when anything happens to us, we can't think straight. And he's in the dark and lonely grave, the worst place you could possibly be. And he remembers that if you recite Surah Yasin 40 times, then any difficulty will be removed from you and it will be made easy for you. So he began to recite Surah Yasin whilst he was in the grave. And it got to the 39th time. The 39th time of Surah Yasin, and a shroud thief began to dig the grave. People that steal the shrouds of the dead people started to dig the grave. Now he had this spiritual mindset of his own, and he realized that there was a shroud thief that was digging into the grave. He realized this. So he lowered his voice when he started reciting Surah Yasin the 40th time. And just as he completed reciting Surah Yasin the 40th time, the grave was completely dug up and he sat up and got out the grave. And this person that was the shroud thief, obviously he panicked, because obviously the last thing that he expected to see was someone getting out of the grave. So he panicked and he literally, you know, fainted himself. So Imam Nasruddin al-Basri al-Mutullah, then he obviously decided to go back to his home. And on his way home, he thought to himself that if, you know, I just turn up, everyone's going to be shocked that this is the person that we buried a few hours ago and now he's here. So as he's going towards his home, he's making an announcement that I'm Imam Nasruddin. You buried me a few hours ago thinking I was dead, but I'm alive, I'm alive, alive. And he made this journey and he went home. From this parable, we see many, many blessings. One, the blessings of Surah Yasin. When you look at the pious predecessors of the past, that if they heard that this was the way to do it and this would happen, they believed it. And say the Al-Hazrat, he was on a journey. He was on a journey coming back from the Hajj on the ship, and the ship started, a storm abated. And the captain of the ship said that I've never seen a storm like this. If any of you have your shrouds with you, your coffin with you, then put it on. Because there's very little chance that we're going to survive this storm. And so you can imagine everybody in the ship's panicking. Everyone on the ship is screaming. But Sayyidi Al-Hazrat is sitting there calmly, just doing his tasbih reading. And they looked at him and said, you know, Yazur, you know, everyone's panicking, everyone's screaming. Well, why are you not panicking? Well, you know, why are you so calm? And he said, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. And they said to him, how can you be so sure that nothing will happen? The captain of the ship, he's been on a ship for, you know, 20, 30, whatever it is, how many years he's been. He's saying that this is the worst storm he's ever seen. And he's saying that there's very little chance of us surviving this. How can you be so sure that nothing will happen? He said, I've recited that dua. I've recited that dua. Nothing will happen to me. And a few hours later, the storm abated and the ship got to its destination. But it's this iman. This iman, my dear Islam brothers and viewers, is that we have to have inside us. It's all right, you know, you afterwards the Tawizat Bastahi, you go to the Tawizat Bastahi and he will give you a wazaif. He will tell you, read this, and you think, okay, I'll read it. But do you really believe? And unless you believe, unless you have that iman inside you, it's not going to benefit you. So we need to develop that iman inside us and realize that the blessings of these wazaif, the blessings of the Quran. You know, and how many of us read the Quran? And what we need to understand is, what is the blessing? What is the beauty of the Quran? The most incredible, beautiful thing of the Quran is the fact that the Quran is the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla. It is the word of your Rabb. Your Rabb is speaking to you. How did that book come to us? It came to us through the mercy of all the world, the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in it is the best language to the best ummah, the best guidance. Everything about the Quran is perfect. But then, the problem is us. How many of us read the Quran? How many of us pick up the Quran and realize that this is the true divine revelation? You know, even whilst we are sitting here, how many of us will check our phone for messages? Yeah? And as soon as we leave here, we'll check our phone for messages. But how many of us on a day-to-day basis will read the Quran? How many of us will read what our Rabb wants us to do and understand what our Rabb wants us to do? And this is why we are lacking today. This is why we are failing today. The Quran is the best of all the books, without a doubt. And I know we'll all admit this. If I was to say to anybody in this room, what is the best book? What is the best book of all the books? We will all say the Quran. Nobody will say any different. But how many of us read the Quran? Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Zumar, verse 23, Allah sent down the best of books, i.e. the Holy Quran, which is alike in excellence from beginning to end. The one with paired statements, e.g. promises and warnings, reward and punishment. Everything is in that book. Everything is in that book. And in the Quranic commentary entitled Khazan al-Irfan, two aspects have been mentioned in relationship to the Holy Quran, being the best book, one from the perspective of wording and two from the perspective of meaning. In terms of wording, the Noble Quran occupies the most superior position from the perspective of eloquence and rhetoric. Neither is it from the class of poetry, nor is the style of public sermons and booklets. Rather, this is such a class of speech that is unique in its style. The Quran is so unique. The writing is so unique, you'll not find it in any other book. You know, all right, we all say it's an Arabic book, and we've not read about it, but the Arabic scholars will say to you that the writing in that book is so unique, you'll not find it in any book. In terms of meaning, nowhere is there any contradiction and conflict in the Holy Quran. There's no conflicts or no contradictions in the Holy Quran. This again is itself a miracle of the Holy Quran. These are the blessings of the Holy Quran. But then again, the question keeps on coming back that I keep on saying to us, how many of us read the Quran? How many of us pick up the Quran? How many of us try to understand the Quran? And if we do read the Quran, how many of us try to understand and read the translation, the commentary? And this is, if you think about it, this is where we are failing as Muslims. We'll read all sorts of novels. We'll read all sorts of books. We'll read all sorts of magazines that are effectively are full of trash, if you want to be honest about it. Most of the things that we pick up to read nowadays, and they're no benefit to us at all. You pick up a magazine, how are you going to benefit from that? All right, you might find out the latest football scores. You might find out what your football team did last week and who scored a hat-trick and who did this and what team they were bought and what player they bought. Yes, so what? What have you achieved? You've not achieved anything. You might think, oh, I'm up to date with the latest information. Okay, you are. So what? Again, what have you achieved? Are you up to date with what Allah Azza wa Jal wants from us? Are you up to date with what Allah Azza wa Jal wants us to do and doesn't want us to do? You might be up to date with football and cricket and all politics and all these sort of things. So what? Ask yourself, what am I achieving in my life? And this is where we need to understand and try to read the Quran. And we are told, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood, radiallahu anhu, states that if a person would like to know whether he loves Allah and loves his messenger. Everybody here and everybody that's watching this program will claim that we are lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But to be a lover is not just from your lips. Yeah? I can say that I love. I can say that I am this. I can say that I am that. Okay, prove it. It's easy for me to make a claim that I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's easy for me to make a claim that I can do this, that I can do that. You know, if someone says that, oh, you know, I'm a great plasterer, well, prove it. Yeah, plaster this wall and prove to me that you're a plasterer. Not just say it, prove it. In the same way, when we say that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a certain criteria to make us understand that, do we really love or is it just lip service? Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu states that if a person would like to know whether he loves Allah and his messenger, he should look and see if he loves the noble Quran. Look and see if he loves the noble Quran. If he loves the Quran, if he loves the Quran, recites it and acts upon it, he does, and then he also loves Allah and he loves his messenger. So now the question is asked to us, do we recite the Quran? Do we act upon the teachings of the Quran? And if the answer is yes, then we can make the claim that we love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is something that we need to examine ourselves. It's all right saying, I do, but do we really? And I've given this example many times before, that if a person says that I love my mother, okay, mashallah. And he puts a big sticker on the back of his car, I love my mother. He writes poetry in praise of his mother, that how great his mother is. But then one day his mother says to him, beta, can you take the rubbish out? Well, I ain't got time for that, mum. Okay. Beta, can you go and do this? No, I ain't got time for that. Can you go there? I ain't got time for that. Beta, don't go there. You shouldn't be going there. Mom, who are you to tell me what I shouldn't be doing? I'm old enough now. Let me decide what I want to do. My life, my rules. So this person who tells everybody he loves his mother, he puts big posters on his car that I love my mother. He writes poetry in praise of loving his mother, and yet you see his actions. Would you say that he loves his mother? No. Because he's not listening to his mother. He's not following or obeying his mother. In the same way that we claim to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us what to do, tells us what not to do, tells us what to avoid, tells us what to do, do we listen? But I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's not true love. That's not true love. And here we are told that a person who loves the Quran, a person who recites the Quran, a person who acts upon the teachings of the Quran, he is a person that loves Allah and loves his messenger. Sayyidina Sahil ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu states that the sign of having love for Allah azza wa jal is having love for the noble Quran. The sign of having love for the noble Quran is having love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the sign of having love for the sunnah is having love for the hereafter. The sign of having love for the hereafter is having hatred for this world. And the sign of having hatred for this world is taking from it according to one's needs in an amount that takes one to the hereafter. These are the recipes for success, if you want. That do I love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Do I love Allah azza wa jalla? Do I love the Quran? Do I love the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And when we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, are we ashamed, embarrassed, in fact, of adopting the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because in my work environment, in my school, in my college, in my office, what will people say if I start following the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? And this again is where we are failing. I've mentioned it many times before. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in his final khutbah, the Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. The Quran and my way, follow them, you will never go astray. And today we're talking about the Quran. Where is the Quran in our houses? Where is the Quran in our houses? And many of you, I'm afraid to say, will have to think. I think it's in that room, on that shelf, over there. I think it's there, yeah. If it's not there, then it'll be over there. Now, if that's the case, isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that we come to that state that we cannot even be sure where the Quran is in our house? When was the last time that we picked up the Quran? When was the last time that we read the Quran? And again, this is something that we need to reflect on. This is our weakness. And you know, they say that you cannot rectify anything unless you admit your fault. You know, they say that when you go to the doctor, I mentioned it before, when you go to the doctor and you get your blood taken, and the doctor comes out and he says, oh, you've got cholesterol, you've got sugar, you've got this, or whatever it is, and you adjust your life. You know, if you've got sugar, then you won't, you know, go eating cream cakes because you've got, you know, diabetes. You'll stay away from these sort of things. So that analysis is done by the doctor, and as a result of that analysis, you adjust your life, you change your lifestyle. And when it comes to our soul, our heart, and the diseases of the heart, and unless we are honest with ourselves and admit that we've got this problem, that I'm not reading my Quran, I'm not reading my Salah, I'm not fasting during the month of Ramadan, I'm not paying my zakat, I'm committing this sin, I'm committing that sin. Unless you admit to yourself these are the sins that you're committing, you can't sort yourself out. You're just in denial. It's like the doctor's done a test and he said, you've got high cholesterol, no, forget it. He said, you've got, forget it. If a person doesn't take advice from the doctor's results, he's on a road to ruin. And so when you come to these weekly shtamas, when we talk about the diseases of the soul, when we talk about our weaknesses, unless we are honest with ourselves and say, yes, I have this problem. You don't have to tell me you got a problem. You have to admit it to yourself that I have this problem. I'm not reading the Quran. I'm not fasting. I'm not praying. I'm not doing this. I'm not doing this. I am doing this. I'm doing this, which I shouldn't be doing. And unless you're honest with yourself, you'll never be able to rectify yourself. There's a saying in English. I use it many, many times. You can take a horse to water, but you cannot force that horse to drink water. I cannot force you to read the Quran. I cannot force you to pray. I cannot force you to fast. All I can do is make you thirsty. You know, they say, make the horse thirsty, maybe he'll drink. I can make you realize that this is what we are doing. And if we don't, we're on a path to destruction. Because the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the Quran are my way, follow them, and you will never go astray. Amir al-Sunnah, he's given us a beautiful gift in the form of a pious deeds booklet. It's available on an app. You can get it completely free, download it, and follow this app. And these questions on a daily basis of what you should and what you shouldn't be doing. What you should try and do, and what you should try and achieve, what you should avoid from doing. And one of the questions in there that Amir al-Sunnah asks, he said, did you read at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran with translation from Kanzul Iman and commentary from the Quran today? Just 3 verses. I'm not having it. We're not a big ask that, is it? Just three verses of the Quran. And I'm going to request you all to just read at least three verses of the Quran with translation and commentary every single day. Every single day. I remember speaking with a geologist, a person that studies stones and the formation of stones and the formation of mountains. And he said to me that when water drops on a stone, when water drops on stones or rocks, gradually that water will make a mark in that stone. Gradually that water will actually make a hole in that stone. So if drops of water can change the shape of a stone, what can drops of Quran do on our hearts? Just think, if three ayahs of the Quran fall on our hearts every day, three ayahs of the Quran with translation and commentary fall on our hearts every day, and even better than that, rather than it falling just on your hearts, sit down as a family. Sit down as a family, all of your family, and sit down. Okay, today's my turn. I will read the Quran. I will read the three verses. Tomorrow it's your turn. Tomorrow it's your turn. Tomorrow it's your turn. And as a family, this is one of the best gatherings you can. Nowadays, we have this problem that families don't sit together. Families don't sit together. You should every day, at a certain time, switch off the Wi-Fi and everybody will sit together. And when they all sit together, then read the three ayats of the Quran with translation and commentary. But this is something that we need to have in our lives. And we're not. And this is why we are failing. Because if a person doesn't love the Quran, if a person doesn't read the Quran, how can he act upon it? We are the creation. We are here to obey the Creator. And the Creator has told us what to do, told us not what to do, told us what to avoid, told us what to do in the Holy Quran. And the living, the pure example of the Quran is the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He is a walking, talking Quran. Everything he did in his life was according to the Quran. So again, I come back to the Quran and my way. Follow them and you will never go astray. The home in which the Quran is recited becomes expansive for its dweller. Its goodness is manifold. Angels visit it and devils leave it. The home in which the Quran is not recited becomes constrictive upon its dweller. Its goodness is reduced. Angels leave it and devils enter it. Nowadays, if you ask someone, everybody's got problems. Everybody's got problems nowadays. If we were to have a line and say, okay, let's queue up and we'll talk to everybody that's got a problem, nearly everybody'd stay in the masjid. We've all got problems. We're all facing problems, be it financial problems, be it problems with our children, be it problems with our spouses, be it with our husband, with our wives, whatever it is, we've all got problems. But if you want to really go to the source of most of our problems, and I say most, I cannot say all of the problems, the source of most of our problems is that person that you look at in the mirror every morning. We are the problem. We are the problem. We are living our lives in such a way that we're causing problems among ourselves. When we are told that if a person, the Quran is not read in your house, then these are the problems that will come into your house. So who's the problem? I'm the problem. I'm the problem that I am not living my life as I should be living, and I'm inviting these problems on top of me. I'm inviting these calamities on me as a result of how I'm living my life. So this again is something that we need to reflect on. In an ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Fatir, part 22, indeed those who read the book of Allah and keep Salah established and spend some from what we have bestowed upon them, secretly and publicly, they are all hopeful of such trade in which there is never loss. And with regards to this, in the tafsir of Baghawi, trade refers to the reward that Allah Azza wa Jalla has promised us. There is no loss in it at all. The reward will neither be invalidated nor is it wasted. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla praised the reciters of the Holy Quran. Those to whom we have given the book, they recite it as it should be recited, and they have faith in it, and those who deny it, only they are the losers. Allahu Akbar. There are many virtues and blessings of reading the Quran. The Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us to recite the Quran as it will intercede for its reciters on the day of judgment. In another hadith, it is stated that Allah Azza wa Jalla stated that the one who's prevented from asking me due to being engaged in reciting the Quran, I will grant him a reward better than the reward of those who are thankful. On the day of judgment, three types of people will be on the mounds of Kothuri Deer Musk. They will not feel any kind of worry, nor will they be taken into account until the accounting of people is complete. And one of them is the person who recited the noble Quran for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla and led the people in prayer in a state that they were happy with him. Something very important though. Reading the Quran for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla is very important. Sometimes we go to Khatam and we'll read the Quran because, you know what, if I don't, then, you know, they'll be upset with me and his family and his friends and, you know, I need to go. Yeah. So I go there. So who are you reciting it for now? For them. You know, to keep the family happy, to keep the relatives happy. That's why you're reciting the Quran. And then sometimes you're reciting the Quran in a beautiful voice in the masjid so everybody can hear you and think, wow, what a beautiful voice. SubhanAllah. Okay. So again, who are you doing it for? And as a Muslim, every week we talk about our intentions, what our intention should be. Why are we here today? What is the intention of being here today? Everything, we should ask ourselves our intentions. Make sure that we have the right intentions. There are many, many, many blessings in reciting the Quran, if only you realized. And you know what happens in a lot of houses? I've seen houses that when the, you know, they're watching Madani channel, alhamdulillah, you see people watching Madani channel. But then when the recitation of the Quran comes on, what do they do? Oh, turn the sound down. Why turn the sound? Well, it's disrespectful to be talking when the Quran's being recited. So we better turn the sound down. Or in fact, we'll turn the TV off whilst the Quran's being recited. Or we'll go on to another channel when the Quran's being recited. Just think about it. Yes, it is disrespectful. That when the Quran is recited, it is disrespectful to continue talking. But do you not think it's more disrespectful to switch it off? Do you not think it's more disrespectful to turn the channel off? Do you not think it's more disrespectful to walk out the room when the Quran has been recited? So again, these are the things that unfortunately we don't realize. You know, them few moments that when the Quran has been recited, you know, that's the best part of the gathering. Again, if we only realize. You're coming here, you're listening to me, you're all listening to me attentively. But how many were listening to the ayat of the Quran attentively? I can make mistakes in my speech. I can make mistakes in my speech, but there's no mistakes in the words of Allah. You listen to me, but you won't listen to the Quran. This again is our mindset. We need to change it. That whenever the Quran is recited, don't turn the volume down. Don't start looking at your messages. Don't start looking at who's in the ijtima and who's not in the ijtima. Listen to the Quran attentively. Listen to the Quran attentively, and in that, inshallah, you'll get the reward and you'll get the blessings as well. Our pious predecessors had such a great passion for reciting the Quran that they would reflect over each verse and recite the Quran with eagerness and enthusiasm. It said that the pious predecessors, they would spend the whole life studying the Quran. The whole life studying and reading the Quran. And if we're honest with ourselves, how many times have we read the Quran? How many times have we tried to understand the Quran? Another big question mark. A huge question mark that we have. How many of us can read the Quran properly? How many of us have even reflected on this? How many of us have even worried about this? Can I read the Quran properly? You know, oh, well, yeah, sure I can. I can read it. Well, how do you know you can read it? Well, I learned it. When did you learn it? Oh, 20 years ago when I was in the madrasa. 30 years ago when I was in the madrasa, I learned how to read the Quran then. Okay, fair enough. I'll give you an example. You buy a 60,000 pound car. Yeah, when you buy a 60,000 pound car, why is it you service it after 10,000 miles? It's a brand new car. Why is it you service it every 12 months, every 6 months? Why are you servicing that car every 12 months? It's a brand new car. Why? Because you want to make sure that the car stays and works properly. So you service it, you check it, you make sure that the car's perfect, and you'll spend money on it maintaining that car. So you maintain the quality of the driver of your car. But when do you maintain the recitation of the Quran? When do you maintain the fact that you're reading your salah properly? When do you maintain all of these things? You'll spend money on servicing that. Service your reading of the Quran. Service your salah. Service your iman. Protect your iman. These are the things that we need to do. But unfortunately, we're so busy in our lives that we think, oh, well, we haven't got time for this. But then there's another thing. That the majority of the people are here are probably adults that are here today. And what happens is we think, well, okay, yeah, he's right. I have got a problem with my Quran. But, you know, I can't go back to the madrasa now and sit with the kids, can I? Alhamdulillah, Dawud Islami has this. Dawud Islami provides you a service in the Madrasatul Madina Balighan that is there specifically for the adults. That you can be 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, whatever your age is. Whatever your age is, you make an intention that you want to rectify and read the Quran properly. See the brothers afterwards. And if the brothers afterwards say, sorry, there's no class, then come and see me and I'll grab hold of them. Yeah? There will be classes for you. There are classes for you in every area, Bradford, and anybody that's watching this program, wherever there is a center of Dawud Islami, there will be these Balighan classes. And these classes are not just for the brothers. The sisters have their separate classes as well. But it's incumbent upon us to get attached to the Quran, to read the Quran. You know, the people that are in this room today, the people that are watching this program today, you have an interest in your deen. You have an interest in acquiring the knowledge of the deen. But if we go out of here and realize what situation the ummah is in, we realize that we're in such a dire straits. Someone sent me some links of some small clips on social media. And there was a person, he was walking around a town in a Muslim country. And he would stop people and ask them, what is your name? What is your faith? I'm a Muslim. This is my name. This is my name. This is my name. Okay. And the person would recite Surah Ikhlas. And he would say to the people, what have I just recited? I don't know. I don't know. So many people did not even know Surah Ikhlas. When he was asking people, please recite Surah Fatiha, I don't know it. And I was like shocked. This is a Muslim country they was in. I was shocked that there are Muslims out there that do not read, know how to recite Surah Fatiha, or do not know how to even recite Surah Fatiha wrong. There are Muslims out there who don't even recognize Surah Ikhlas, let alone recite it. So if you don't recognize Surah Fatiha, if you don't recognize Surah Ikhlas, you're not going to be praying. So that is a snapshot that this is the state of the Ummah, this is the pain that the Ummah is in, this is the situation that the Ummah is in, and this is why if we look around us nowadays and we realize that the Ummah is, we got this problem, we got that problem in this country, that country, that. This is the reason. The Quran are my way, follow them, you will never go astray. And that is why we are failing. That is why we are failing. So time is against me, my dear Islam brothers and viewers on the channel, but please, attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami. Attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami to protect your iman. To protect your iman. You know, everybody that's come here today, if you've walked, then all well and good. My car's outside, and the first thing I did when I got in my car, I pressed the button to lock it. I locked my car. You all lock your car, you all lock your houses, you all do this. Why? Because you're scared. What are you scared of? You're scared of a human being stealing your car. If my car is stolen, what's the worst that'll happen? I'll have to get a lift off one of the brothers. But what about my iman? What locks am I putting on my iman to protect my iman, to secure my iman? And if I lose my iman, that one's going to happen. These are the things that we need to reflect on. These are the things that we need to think on. And attach yourself to the environment of the Islamic to protect your iman. To empower yourself with them tools. To empower yourself with them weapons. And I'm serious, them weapons. Yes, them weapons to protect yourself against the whispers of shaitan. So that you can safeguard your iman, safeguard the iman of your family, safeguard the iman of your children, safeguard the iman of the generations that are to come. Because on the day of judgment, you will be questioned. That what did you do to protect the iman of your children? Allah Azza wa Jalla says, save yourselves and your family. Save yourselves and your family from that fire whose fuel is stones and men. It is our responsibility. So I humbly request you, please attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami. Come here on a regular basis. If you have any doubts about your Quran, if you have any doubts about your salah, your wuzu, anything else, sit down with the brothers, grab the brothers, and if they say, no, we haven't got time, come and grab me and I'll grab them for you, inshallah. But please attach yourself to the environment of Dawah Islami. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla, Allah, forgive me if I said anything wrong, and I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that we all learn to truly love the Quran as it should be loved, to read the Quran as it should be read, to live our lives in such a way that Allah and His Rasul are happy with us. Ameen bi jahin nabil ameen. Sallu ala al-Habib.
O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. O Mubalik, for you is my prayer. May you keep ascending success, share success.